Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another week of Talk That Talk with Tweety and LJ. Thank y'all for tuning in again. Tweety, you live. You on there?
What's going on, everybody? How's everybody fun to go on?
Seamless service again this week. So off the top, I want to remind everybody you can call us in if you got an opinion or you want to talk that talk about whatever subject we're talking about at the time. The guest call-in number is 646-668-2343. Again, that number is 646-668-2343. So we're going to jump right into it, okay? Probably there's a lot of stuff going on in sports right now. But the biggest thing right now in my mind is the NBA Finals. It was the highest rated game for the NBA Finals for ABC.
Yeah,
went into overtime. Great game. But before we get into the game, it's one thing I've been thinking about. I saw a press conference where LeBron was sort of joking about having made it to the finals 5 times in a row.
Yeah, I think that.
The caveat to that is he's been to the final. This is 6 times in the final. So his goal is previous 5 times. He's 1-2, lost 3. As of right now,
okay,
what do you think his legacy is when it comes to the NBA Finals?
I mean, it's going to be that he's just not Jordan. That's really all it comes down to. He doesn't have the perfect record. I mean, you can't say that he can't win a big one because he has 2 rings. But, I mean, you can say the 2 teams that he had in Cleveland, a lot of people say that first team wouldn't even make it to the playoffs if it wasn't for him. And a lot could be said about this same team in Cleveland. So, I mean, the fact that he gets there with these subpar teams, quote-unquote, it makes him look a lot better than it would if he was to lose to this team with Miami again.
Well, I would say the team as it's made up right now, and that would be a healthy Kyrie. I'm assuming a healthy Kyrie and a healthy Kevin Love. In my opinion, they still make the playoffs. Now, I don't think they make it to the finals, probably without LeBron. But it's still – this particular team is still a playoff team. One, because the East is – such a poor conference in comparison to the West, and two, because Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving are great players in their own right. The thing I found interesting about what LeBron has to say is people's perspective on losing and winning. I find it interesting that in a sport, or just sports, I'm just stick with the NBA, in a sport that is so competitive where probably everybody – in the league, NBA-wise, from coaches, GMs, et cetera, are all uber competitive. LeBron is bragging about making it to the finals. Not winning the finals, but making it to the finals, which I find interesting because I've never understood why people brag about making it to the NBA finals. Is it an accomplishment? Yes. But that's just like, you know, you want this big-time job and you get a second interview and don't get the job. Do you celebrate the second interview? Well, you could. You absolutely could celebrate the second interview because you got past the first step. However, your goal was to get the job, not to get just to get the second interview. So I find it interesting. I don't understand how people get excited. He's bragging about making it to the finals 5 straight times. Yeah, that's an accomplishment. However, if you won 5 straight times or even had a winning record,
right,
he would be a big deal. But I don't see I don't understand the purpose in bragging about making it to the finals 5 straight times when of the previous 4 that have been completed, you've only won 2 of them. It's, I mean, you don't play to win second. I don't know anybody who plays to come in second anyway.
Right. I mean, I guess that's his whole deal. Maybe he's not bragging about coming in second, but he's bragging about the fact that, hey, I have been here 6 times in a row. I mean, 5 times in a row. Who else can you say have done that besides, what do you say, Bill Russell? And like you say, and you can't say he hasn't won. Like, he hasn't come in second every time. I don't think he's bragging about it. I think he's just saying, hey, look, this here is what I've done. Like, who else have done this since Bill Russell? You can't give me nobody.
But I'm saying, like, what is the accomplishment of making it to the finals? Like, the goal is not to make it to the finals. The goal is to win.
That is true, but you know how many great players never made it to the finals?
Yeah, but
a bunch of great players never made. Like, and I understand, like you say, that it's not the thing to brag about. But like you say, you can't say he's never won either. So he could
I never
be
said
like,
he didn't win. I'm just saying, like, I don't understand. Like, I've only been to the final five times in a row. Well, two of those times you didn't win. Like, that is. I mean, you can say that. That's a great thing to put on your resume. Hey, been to this championship five times, but how many times did you win? But, you know, that was just something I wanted to get your opinion on. What did you think about game one? Just for anybody who did not see the game, it went into overtime. LeBron had opportunity to win it in regulation.
Yeah.
He missed the jump shot. Iman Shumpert almost hit a follow-up shot, but he missed it. It rimmed out as well. The Warriors ended up winning 108-100, I believe, with the score.
Right, right.
What were your thoughts on game one? We'll touch on the Kyrie Irving injury a little bit coming up, but what were your thoughts on game one?
Honestly, game one was everything I thought it would be. It was a classic. It was pretty much it lived up to the bill. It like you said, just had that big downfall of Kyrie getting hurt in overtime. But like I said, those first four quarters was pretty much back and forth. You saw the stars step up when they needed to. You saw clutch players make clutch plays. Like, LeBron didn't have the best shooting night, but he hit clutch threes when he needed to in the first four quarters. Anyway, nobody did nothing in overtime. But Kyrie did exactly what I thought he would do, and that would be cancel out the production of – and the reason why I say this is because Kyrie Irving's stat line was awesome. Like, 23-6-7, two blocks. I mean, yeah, he had five fouls, but like I say, he was actually out there giving an effort on defense.
I don't think this is my opinion. I don't think Kyrie Irving cancels out Steph Curry because of the fact that what Steph Curry makes your defense do. Like, if there's a fast break, if you don't find anybody, everybody's going to find Steph Curry. I mean,
right.
Sometimes obviously they're throwing coverages. So I don't think he cancels him out because I think because of his shooting ability, I think Steph Curry has a bigger impact on his team offensively just because of his shooting ability. I mean, the fact that he can shoot it off the dribble, pull up, I mean, any little slither of space that you give him, he can knock it down. The one thing I like that the Warriors did was I like the fact that they did not double-team LeBron James. I mean, Cleveland has no shot. It's not going to win this series with LeBron James taking 38 shots a game.
Agreed.
The other guys are going to have to step up. The other thing I kind of felt was this felt like one of those games that if Cleveland is going to win in Oakland, I think this is the opportunity. The Warriors, I mean, they got off to a terrible start shooting. They had some stretches where they shot really well. They shot pretty good for a stretch in the second quarter. But, you know, they didn't shoot it as well as they normally shoot it. In my opinion, their defense was a little spotty in the first half of that game. It tightened up a little bit in the second half, but their defense was a little bit spotty. But I just thought overall, I didn't think the Warriors played to where they were capable of playing. I thought Cleveland played a better game for the most part, but obviously, you know, when they had the opportunity to close the game out, they weren't able to. And I think that's where the second quarter, late in the first quarter, early in the second quarter, I think that's where you saw the biggest advantage that the Warriors have, which is their bench. Because if you look back at that first half, in the first quarter, Steph Curry shot 2-6. I think Klay Thompson shooting all right, but, you know, they were missing a lot of shots. The Warriors were only like 3 or 4 for like 13 at the end of the first quarter, something like that, some insane number.
Mm-hmm.
But the guys who got him started, got him going, were the bench guys. Andre Iguodala, Maurice Bates came in and played great in that towards the end of the first quarter, early in the second quarter. I think he scored like 6 points or 8 points or something like that. But he played great during that time period, you know, providing the offensive spark and providing some energy. He didn't play last series. So I thought that little stretch was showed you what was, to me, what's going to be the difference in this series is that second string. Now, what do you think Cleveland's going to do to try to cover down on the scoring that that's going to be, or the offense that's going to be missing now that Kyrie's gone, because him and LeBron James combined for like an insane percentage of the offense for Cleveland this past series, this past game. I think it was like somewhere north of 90 or somewhere in the 80s or 90% of their offense came from either Kyrie or LeBron.
Right. I say best option is going to be what they were doing when Kyrie was out, like get J.R. Smith involved, because honestly, when J.R. Smith got involved early, he hit the first two shots of the game, and then he didn't get another shot for probably like another quarter and a half or so. And yeah, you got old J.R. Smith that looked like he was back in New York. He started throwing up in there and everything because he's a volume shooter. And get him back involved, that'll open up the offense for him, Shumpert to get back involved with that corner three-pointer. Like, they're going to have to revert back to LeBron having to get 8-9 assists because you don't have Kyrie Irving to balance out the scoring. Because, like you say, this team that's constructed without Kyrie would not win with LeBron taking 30 shots. But if you, like you say, with that strategy, LeBron had, what, close to 30 shots before the end of fourth quarter, and they was a LeBron jumper away from winning. And the only reason why is because you had somebody else that could create offense. But now that you really don't, you have a bunch of shooters around LeBron. That's it kind of lets him play more of his game. But at the same time, like you say, if those players are off around him, they have just about zero chance to win in this game, because then that makes LeBron have to score. I mean, shoot 35-40 times.
Are you going to change your prediction? Last week you predicted Cleveland.
I did. I predicted Cleveland at 6, and I'm not like the rest of these people. Yeah, I had to change mine. It doesn't look good. I don't see Cleveland being able to produce enough points now to keep up with Golden State in the 7-game series. So, yeah,
I
have to change it.
I'm gonna call my neurosurgeon and make you a back appointment. You're gonna hurt your back jumping on off your bandwagon, boy.
I ain't jumping on no bandwagon. I'm making
knees.
A prediction based on what I see. And like I said, I don't care.
You gotta stick
I don't
with
really
it.
Care who wins. I don't know. I don't. Who says that? That's stupid. I'm not putting no money on it. And I'm not a fan of either one of these teams. I'm just calling it how I see it. And Cleveland ain't the same team. You picked Golden State earlier. So why would you change?
I'm pretty Golden State. The one thing I would not be surprised of now, though, I would not be surprised if Golden State swept Cleveland. I would not be surprised.
And the fact that a lot of people feel that way, I don't think they're going to get swept, but I don't think they're going to win this series either.
Nah.
I don't think they have a chance to win this series.
I don't think they're going to win tonight. If they don't win game 3 in Cleveland, they're going to get swept. If they don't win game
3.
If they don't win game 3 in Cleveland,
agreed.
They're going to get swept. All right.
It's going to look bad for LeBron, because the two times he go with Cleveland, he gets swept. That's not going to look good. That's not going to be good at all.
We ain't even talk Kyrie's injury yet. I got 50. Yeah, we'll spend a few minutes talking about Kyrie's injury. Now, the way it happened, I think that's irrelevant. That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think the backstory, the interesting piece of this is that Kyrie's agent and reportedly his father are not all that happy.
Yeah, with the Cavaliers
and kind of like how his knee injury was diagnosed prior to this.
Right.
I guess his agent and his pops thought that they should be a little bit more conservative. And, of course, the Cavs are like, hey, well, you know, reportedly the Cavs are more along the lines of if you can go, we need to get out of you or we can get out of you. What? How do you think it goes when it comes to injuries as far as whether a player should play or not?
I honestly think that should be up to the doctors and the players. Man, first of all, I mean, I don't know Kyrie's relationship with the father, but he ain't got no say-so in this. Kyrie a grown-ass man. His agent, you know, agents going to do what they do anyway. He quote-unquote, trying to help his client out. But I think that decision should be left up to doctors and players and coaches because they're the ones that's out there every day.
Here's the interesting thing about it. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if he got cared by Dr. Andrews, he needs to – I mean, a lot of people just need to chill out. Dr. Andrews know what he's talking about. He's been doing this for a long time. Cleared that man to play basketball, let him go play basketball.
Here's the interesting thing about you saying leave it in the hands of the doctors. Would you want to leave something in the hands of somebody who we got a call on. Oh, Sookie, I'm going to take this call. So let's see if we can.
Go ahead.
Call.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, man, how y'all doing?
Sweetie and LJ.
Hey, man, how y'all doing?
All right. Who's calling?
Hey, Jamal, man. Jay Majors, man.
What's happening?
Okay.
What you got?
Man, I was just I heard what you said, and I've been really trying to talk to people about why Golden State did not double LeBron. But my question for both of y'all is, if Golden State continues to not double LeBron, and the one guy that they had that was able to create shots and not afraid to create shots, what do you do if you are a Cleveland coach when you don't have that other guy that has that mindset to go out and try to create his own shot when the team is not double-teaming LeBron?
I think the first thing they have to do is tell J.L. Smith, hey, you can shoot, but don't really, we don't want you to go all out, J.L. Smith.
Right.
I think the biggest thing they have to do is they have to start running more action, you know,
running through
the offense a little bit and then get LeBron into the isolation instead of what they did a lot last game, which is they come down, LeBron posting up about 18 feet away from the basket,
and
he catches
in
the background or turns his face. Yeah, and everybody else standing in the corner and watching. I think they got to run through their offense a little bit more and try to get to that situation. And I also think the other thing is I would probably consider using a little bit more high pick and roll, you know, top of the key with LeBron and Maja, or LeBron and what's the other kid's name? Tristan Thompson. And maybe try to force the defense to collapse, and then you can kick the ball out to Shumpert, Smith, Deladova, some of these other guys, James Jones, and try to get them some easier shots that way and get them in a rhythm.
I say you can get J.L. Smith going early by giving him a pick and roll with Tristan Thompson. I say start out going small, man. Go small ball, because I think their best lineup now and their only productive lineup now could be LeBron James at the four and Tristan Thompson at the five, and run pick and rolls with J.L. Smith early. LeBron James, go to LeBron James whenever you feel like it's necessary. But I feel like you got to get J.L. Smith involved early.
Well, yeah, I think also, too, like what you said, it's going to fall back on the coaching, because if the team is not double-teaming and the guy is pretty much allowing Iguodala to play LeBron just one-on-one, whether he's taking it off the dribble or whether he's playing the post, if those other guys are just standing around, he don't get those assist opportunities because everybody is guarding kind of like in the area where they're supposed to be, so you don't get those assist opportunities.
You know, another thing I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland did to help with more offense is to put one of these smaller, more athletic guys at the center position. You know, get rid of Tristan Thompson. Maybe put Mike Miller out there, or maybe Sean Marion, because with the exception of what's his name? I forgot. I don't know how to pronounce it. Number 31 for the Warriors is Ealy. With the exception, Andrew Bogut, he's not particularly looking to score with his back to the basket. So I think if you can get away with putting a smaller guy on him on defense, and then maybe that smaller guy on offense, now he's got an advantage against Bogut. But the big thing is if you put a smaller guy out there, he can shoot it, you take Bogut away from the basket, and then that'll open up some lanes for LeBron. And, you know, maybe they have to double team a little bit more, because now whoever's guarding LeBron doesn't have that rim protector behind him to help out if LeBron beats him off the dribble.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's difficult. You know, LeBron is going to – I mean, he took a high volume of shots in game one, and he took those high volume with Kyrie. So it's going to be real trying to get offensive production without him taking a high volume of shots and everybody else sitting around and watching.
Yeah, I do have one other thing. I suspect that David Blatt may have, unbeknownst to any of us, been on a fresh break. Because I've seen this offense before at Bel Air Academy when they just passed the wheel. But, you know, I'm going to have to look up the screen credits for Fresh Prince and see if he was the coach of Bel Air Academy at the time and came up with the pass the wheel strategy. Thanks for the call, man. We appreciate the call.
Appreciate the call, Jamal.
All right, man.
Appreciate
anytime,
that.
Man.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
Now, to the Kyrie injury thing. I forgot what we were doubting. But my question to you was going to be, how do you feel, if you're the athlete, how do you feel knowing that you're injured, but the person who decides whether you're going to play or not is a team employee?
Well, no, I don't feel like that's the person that decides whether you play or not. I think that ultimately falls upon the player himself. But if it did come down to that, I would rather it be an employee who knows at least, I mean, that's whose job it is. But I don't think it comes down to an employee of the company. I think it comes down to me. Like, go ahead. But what?
No, go ahead.
I think that it's just, you know, maybe peer pressure as far as other players playing hurt, maybe. But, I mean, I don't think the doctor had the final say-so. But, yeah, he can keep you out because, you know, he can feel like you can damage yourself a little more. But I guess everybody felt like he could play medically and he went and played. As a player, he felt like he wanted to play, so he got out there and played.
The one thing I would worry about is conflict of interest. Meaning, if the doctor, like, so for example, if the doctor says, hey, you know what, he's not risking any further injury, then the team can use that to say, hey, you know, you can still play. You're not really risking further injury, according to the doctor. But that's neither here nor there. I want to spend the last few minutes we have talking briefly about this University of North Carolina was hit with 5 level 1 violations by the NCAA.
Yeah.
Basically, those are severe breaches of contract. So basically what NCAA said the UNC faculty and staff did was provide special arrangements to student-athletes that were not generally available to the student body. A philosophy instructor normally provided extra benefits in the form of impermissible academic assistance and special arrangements.
Uh-huh.
The head of the African-American and Afro-American Study Department and student service manager in that department withheld information from the NCAA and refused to participate. University failed to monitor, yada, yada, yada. And there's other stuff. This is
pretty
my
much
thought,
them not
the
being
back.
Able to control their university.
Exactly. This is my thought right off the bat. First of all, this is my opinion. If graduation rates were not a big deal, I don't think coaches would care. I mean, they say they do. I mean, you know, even if you go to high school, what do coaches care about? They care about you remaining eligible. That's it.
Right.
They don't care
right.
about you being an A student. Most
play.
Don't care about you being an A student. because they get paid to coach. So they need you to be on that field unless you suck. Now, if you suck, they may encourage you to fail because they don't want to have to see you. But, you know, they just want you to stay eligible. That's really all that matters to a coach. And I think the other piece of that is, I don't even want to guess a percentage, but there's quite a few kids who come out of high school thinking they're going to be professional athletes. So they don't care about school. So if they can find the easy way out, whether it's, you know, some, what do they call those? What the hell do you call them? Some tutor. Yeah, tutor, helping out with grades or helping out with a paper, writing it or whatever. You think most of those kids are going to care? You know, probably not. But this is one of the funny stories. So you, I don't know if you remember when Vince Carter was playing for the Raptors, and I think he missed a playoff game or he was late to it or something like that because he wanted to go graduate. He wanted to walk with his class at North Carolina. Interestingly enough, he got his fucking degree. African American studies. Maybe his degree was
either. Yeah, that's the program.
What do you think about the allegations against North Carolina?
I mean, they cheated. I mean, but you got busted. But I'll give them credit. I will give them credit. If they was going to cheat in any department, they felt like they was doing it in the department that most people didn't give a damn about. It's messed up to say it like that. But that's why you do it in certain departments, because you feel like the spotlight will never get to that area. But when you get help from a player, Rashad McCants, stating that he got help, you know, they cheated for him, then they gonna break you down and they gonna go down to the nitty gritty. And it's there for the past what, 18 to 20 years? It stemmed back from what, 2002 to 2011, something like that. No, it's crazy. Like, you get caught, you just get caught. You got to deal with the punishment. But I don't like how the investigation got open because certain people, you know, blowing whistles around here, and that's not cool.
We don't tolerate snitches. Speaking of Rashad McCants, I can't understand people who do this. It drives me nuts. He had no interest in North Carolina cheating and all this academic. Man, when he was winning, when they won the national championship, and when he got drafted,
when he was the man,
then his ass washed out. I don't think they cared about our education. You ain't care about it either.
At all, didn't care not one iota. You knew you was a lottery pick because you went to North Carolina.
So why don't come back after the fact and start, well, they're taking advantage. Come on, B. They taking advantage. Did you care? Did you think for 1 second when you was in college that, hey, you know what? Maybe I should give a damn about my college degree and not let somebody else
do my work.
Not let somebody else write my paper or anything like that. You know, my work. Maybe I should do that instead of assuming I'm going to play professionally and I'm going to make it, and then after the fact, I'm going to come back. I was going to say something that's disgusting, but I'm not going to. I was going to come back, and I was going to put my bib on and say, oh, it's everybody else's fault. They're taking advantage of us. You have to go.
The
situation is what it is. Coaches need players so they can get played. Players need the universities to help propel them to the next level. You know, it's mutual combat, basically. You know, everybody needs each other. One side is saying the other. I mean, you know, somebody's always saying somebody's using somebody. The point is, nobody fucking cares. You got, you know, we want kids to win. If you get your education, you know, I don't particularly care whether these kids get education. Not my responsibility. I just want to watch them play. But we're running out of time. Congratulations to my favorite soccer team, really my favorite soccer player, FC Barcelona. They won the UEFA League Championship. They're the only team that ever have won their league championship, the domestic championship or whatever. Anyways, congratulations, Barcelona. We'll see y'all next week, same time. 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Yes, sir. Tweety and LJ, actually, we'll be five. Next week will be our first show together in the same room. See y'all next week. Peace.
All right. Peace.